The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Today I'm going to talk about comfort. We like our comforts. We like to be comfortable in all the different ways. Understandable. And there's different ways of seeing comfort. For some people, having clean water to drink is comfort, or something to eat, or a warm place to spend the night. That's real comfort for people who don't really have that. There's a whole world of people who live in a very different way from us, from what most of us think is normal. Most people in this world live on a whole lot less stuff than we do. And many of them are a lot more contented and comfortable than we are, actually, because comfort is not just about having stuff. It's a thing of the mind. And there's the comforts of, you know, relationships, security, love, the respect of other people, success, and all those things that people, you know, make us comfortable if we have them, and not too comfortable if we don't. Buddhism is not about finding comfort. It's actually about finding freedom from suffering, which is not the same thing. The very definition of suffering is, I want something else. If you think about it, whenever we're uncomfortable, we're suffering, it's always, I want something else. I don't want this pain. I don't want this unfulfilled desire. I want to get the thing. I don't like this uncertainty, I want security or some idea of where I'm going. I don't want this loss, I want to get the thing I desire or the person I want. I want to have my health back or the person that I lost. I want to not have made the dreadful mistake I made. I'd like to be able to do that again, you know. Another chance to do it right. This is all suffering. It's all, I want something else. Extremely understandable. We all are very familiar with all of these things and all the many other ways in which we suffer. Life isn't about getting it right or being in control or doing what we like or having what we like. It's not about getting things. It's about giving ourselves to life. Not trying to get something out of it, but giving ourselves to it. Wholeheartedly. Training isn't about getting something, it's about giving ourselves to it. This lovely litany we just sang about Manjushri, the king, I really like that one. He says, well, I've got all these merits, what should I do with them? And the gods say, well, engender bodhicitta. And he goes to the Buddha and says, engender bodhicitta. And the Buddha explains, you know, it's about giving to other beings, helping beings. And he says, right, I'm going to do this. And he makes this great lion's roar, and he says, I'm going to do this wholeheartedly, and I'm never going to look back, and if I'm sincere, may flowers rain down, and all this stuff happen. He doesn't say, well, if I'm insincere, may these things happen. He says, no, if I'm really sincere, let it rip, you know. Sure enough, it all happens, and it's really beautiful, because he doesn't hold back. He's completely wholehearted, sort of fearless, his fearless lion's roar. I'm going to do this. And it's not about a me doing something. It's just his whole heart wants to engender bodhicitta, wants to help beings, because that's the basis of it. Helping beings, including our own karma, our own selves, not just sacrificing ourselves and being nothing for the sake of others, but just truly helping beings, helping life, giving ourselves to life. And that's what, you know, is actually satisfying. The Dalai Lama says, if you want to be happy, you're trying to make yourself happy, you're going to be miserable. If you try to help other people be happy, you will be happy, you know. But you don't do that in order to be happy, because then you're trying to make yourself happy. So you have to just do it wholeheartedly, make a lion's roar and just go for it. We're not trying to make our lives more comfortable in any kind of outward sense. We're looking for peace of heart. We're not meditating so we can have, you know, get better at work or have better relationships, although we may. Certainly it helps our relationships when we meditate, when we're not giving in to our anger and self-blame or other blame or all that stuff. But we don't do it for that. When it comes down to it, we give ourselves to the training. We give ourselves to our life. We give ourselves to other beings. But this discomfort, this not comfort, that usually brings us to the Dharma, which actually is a good thing, because if we were quite comfortable, everything's fine, you would have no need to do anything, no need to train ourselves, no need to change. But of course, there's dis-ease. We don't feel quite right about ourselves. There's something missing, or my life is a mess, or some awful thing has happened to us, and we're looking for answers. And that's this, the discomfort, whether it's minor or major, brings us to the Dharma. Discomfort is our friend, and discomfort remains our friend because it helps to keep us on the way. When we're about to break a precept or make a mistake, or there's something not quite right here, you know, I'm a little uneasy about something, maybe there's something I don't know, I better be careful. Discomfort kind of warns us that you need to look and be careful. What am I doing? What am I about to do? What did I just do? And that discomfort, uncomfortable though it is actually a blessing because it gets our attention and it helps us to open up a little bit and see, what am I doing? You know, to do our best to keep to the precepts helps bring us peace of heart, and there's still always a little discomfort because we never do it all perfectly. And we're always seeing, you know, what am I doing? What is my mind doing? What am I about to do? We're never completely perfect and beyond having to, you know, consider, what am I doing? A little discomfort keeps an edge on our training. Never just cruising along completely comfortably. There's always something is going to happen. We're going to bump into a wall or something. The edge of awareness when we make mistakes, or that we might make mistakes. We can, always. We're not perfect. There's always work to do. And we can still be at ease within that. We don't have to be constantly worrying, you know, what am I not doing right? Because otherwise we just create more suffering for ourselves. When we're never good enough, that's a suffering. You know, I'm never good enough. I'm never kind enough. I'm never wise enough. I'm never helpful enough. I'm never anything enough. And it's a bottomless pit. So that's not peace of heart. That's, I want something else, actually. When someone tells us something about ourselves that we'd rather not hear, there's discomfort. But it's a blessing. They're giving us a gift. We need to hear it anyway, and to be willing to see, okay, thank you, I need to do something different. When we have chronic pain or illness, or a very difficult situation that doesn't seem to get better or change in any way, you know, it can be that I want something else arise, the discomfort, and yet we just need to practice patience and acceptance. Things do not always work the way we'd like them to. Sometimes things go on far longer than we would wish. Sometimes things end much quicker than we'd like. And it's often the things we'd rather not have that go on and on and on. And yet, maybe they're here to teach us something. Maybe I can learn from this. Even if it's not the universe setting things up to teach me something, I can still learn something from it. I can gain some benefit by simply looking at it and doing my best to accept it, at the very least to learn patience and kindness to other people in the same situation, sympathy, compassion for others who have difficulty. Wanting things to be different just makes it worse, you know. But to consider, what can I learn from this? Helps to turn it around, helps us to use it for the good. Real comfort is a thing of the mind, is peace of heart. When the heart's peaceful, these outer discomforts don't matter very much. In many religious traditions, monks practice great austerities in order to learn to be comfortable or at peace in any situation. You know, going without food, or living out in the forest without any shelter, or living in a place where there's wild animals and learning to deal with fear. These are all ways people practice finding peace of heart, finding the true comfort in all sorts of seemingly extreme situations. To be free of the conditions, to be free of having to be comfortable, having to have the things we think we need, but to be able to be free of that and to be at ease in any situation. We sort of think, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to be totally at ease? No matter where we are, no matter who we're with, no matter what people think of us or what we think of ourselves, to be quite at ease with ourselves and other beings. Because, of course, often it's ourselves we're not at ease with, you know. We're uncomfortable about ourselves more than anything. Oh, I just made that really dumb mistake. Oh, God, how stupid I've been. In fact, people don't care, you know. They're just happy we're here, maybe. We don't have to worry. Well, we don't practice austerities here, but we can still pay attention and see the things that make us uncomfortable, or see what the mind does that we need to change, to accept all the conditions that life brings us. We just need to pay attention to see what the mind does when it doesn't get what it wants, or when you want something else. The sort of irritation or the non-acceptance or whatever it is. Our fear and resentment, you know, worry, anxiety, all that. And our trying to change the conditions. Sometimes they change, sometimes we can change something. Often we can't. We just have to accept what comes our way. And if we can accept what comes our way rather than try to change everything, it's a lot easier. There's this parable about somebody wanting to cover the world with leather so they would be at ease. And somebody points out, it's a lot easier to wear leather shoes than try to fix the world and make the whole world comfortable for me. It's a really nice little thing. You think, ah, right, if I can do something about my attitude rather than try to fix the world's attitude, it's a lot simpler. Impermanence. Contemplating impermanence, it seems like it could be an uncomfortable thing, a dis-ease, but actually when we truly contemplate impermanence, the fact that everything changes, nothing lasts for long, everything passes, this actually brings us comfort and peace of heart, because it's not just that everything is unsatisfactory because everything passes away. There's nothing to hold on to, nothing that will make us completely happy and fulfilled as it is, because everything eventually passes. And this is actually a great comfort when we can dwell within that and not be afraid of it. Impermanence is our friend, to our surprise. There's nothing in this world that we can actually depend on. Everything passes away. Nothing lasts. There's nothing worth getting terribly distressed about because it will change. So when we're in a difficult situation, we can think, this won't last forever, you know. If we're ill or in pain, it may seem like it goes on and on and on. But actually, nothing lasts forever. Things change. Our attitude can change. We change. We might think, oh gosh, this is just awful, it's never going to end. But things do, things change, and we learn acceptance and kindness in astonishing situations. The body, you know, may start falling apart. Well, actually, it's not a real refuge, it's a temporary house. You know, it'll be gone eventually, I do the best I can with it, but really I'm just propping up falling timbers. A nice cheerful thought. But in fact, it's actually quite comforting. You know, I don't have to get all bent out of shape, as it were, about the, you know, imperfections and failings of the body. I just need to do my best to accept it, do what I can, and know that this is a temporary house, not lasting forever. Our situation may be difficult. It won't last forever. I mean, in the meantime, we just do our very best with it. It's not a kind of resignation. Oh, well, it's not worth, no point in bothering. It'll change anyway. We can do something. We can be bright-minded. We can work on ourselves. We can do our best to practice acceptance and kindness in whatever situation we may find ourselves. That's really helpful. Emotions. Just feelings. They come and go. They're not real. They're not our ultimate thing. They pass. Just they say, feeling is the reaper of karma. Feeling is the result of our actions, whether the one we just did or something that happened a long time ago. It's just feeling. It passes through. We can learn from it. We can pay attention to it. Why am I upset about this? Ah, that's what it is. And when we see that, and we stop making feeling the most important thing in our life, it's liberating. I don't have to be completely happy. You know, it's okay. I can just do my best. Again, not expecting to get something from life, but giving ourselves to it brings actually joy and peace of heart. When there's unhappy feeling, there's generally just an unhappy self at the bottom of that, a self that's not happy. It's bent out of shape. It feels bad. It feels discouraged. It feels unloved, dismissed, unwanted, or not getting what it wants, or getting what it doesn't want, or feeling insecure and afraid, wanting something else, actually. There's a self at the bottom. This is our true source of discomfort. As it says in one of the scriptures we sang, as self is lost, so wisdom's found. Manjusri, sitting on the beast of self. There he is. He's a rather an elegant beast. But this is the self he's sitting on. The self is always awake. It's always ready to jump up and run off with us. So Manjusri is sitting still. This is wisdom. Sitting still and not getting run off by our emotions, our wantings, I want something else. Sitting still with it. Is this good to do? Maybe it's okay, maybe not. Not always easy, because that beast is always awake, and we are not always completely awake. It's not as separate, but there, just to keep an eye on the mind, what the mind is up to, what the self wants. And then there's the other Manjusri. This beautiful statue we were given not long ago, Manjusri is sitting there with his sword of wisdom, ready to cut through ignorance and defilements and foolishness. But look at his face, her face, whatever, either way. This beautiful, peaceful face with the sword, totally awake, alert, and watching, and completely at peace. No tension, no worry. Manjusri is not, you know, uncomfortable. He's not suffering. He's not wanting something else. He's just paying attention. He's still. Wisdom, sitting still. Manjusri, within our own hearts, in one of those scriptures, sitting within our meditation hall of our own heart. That's what it really is. The wisdom that's always there that we can listen to. Sitting as still as we can and listening to that, not so much to, I want something else. Sitting within, what is good to do here? Not what do I want, what is good to give ourselves to that, to trust that. The real comfort, the true refuge is Buddha nature, our own true nature, and Dharma and help from other beings. In trusting ourselves to our true nature, relying on that, listening to that, resting within it. We can do our very best to live our life well, to give ourselves to life, and to do it from that place of stillness within. In the end, we're not in control of much of anything. We do our best with the beast of self. It still gets away from us now and then. We do our best. We're not in control of what happens in our lives. We're not in control of our own body. Not much in control of our mind, but we are somewhat in control of what we do. And to just keep doing our best to sit still within, to listen to that little voice or at something that says, sure you want to do that? You know, maybe not a good idea. Or sometimes a yell, don't do that. But to listen and hearken and follow. Not to hear it and then think, no, I want something else. I'm going to do something else. Not a good idea. To listen, to heed, and to rely on our true nature, entrusting ourselves to it, resting within it. That is the true comfort. And it never leaves us. It's always with us. It does not go away. It is always our true refuge. Living in faith in that. And that's what Manjushri has to tell us today. Oh. Thank you.